What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care, so sit back, relax, and defocus.
One thing that Daryl Glover and I can agree on, we're ready. We are totally pumped to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Vision Expo West, September 26th through the 29th at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas. It's your chance to get world-class education on both practice management and ocular disease, with new courses added in trending topics like ocular aesthetics, crafting the patient experience, and what you need to know about private equity. The comprehensive program features over 300 hours of education and 23 specialty tracks, providing education for the entire staff and all aspects of an eye care and eyewear practice or retail business. You know, for opticians and contact lens technicians, Opticon at Vision Expo is making its debut at Vision Expo West. This value-based package includes 15 hours of ABO and NCLE approved continuing education, exhibit hall passes, and invites to exclusive events, including a welcome party and peer-to-peer networking opportunities. And the exhibit hall is the ultimate shopping experience. It's got 4,000 plus eyewear brands, plus the latest technologies and medical equipment on display for you to try out and see how it's gonna fit into your practice. But why do we love Vision Expo, Daryl? Because it's our chance to see you guys. The networking and fun to be had at Vision Expo West is unparalleled, with the always popular ODs on Facebook party and social events opening to eye care young professionals. Join us by registering today at visionexpolv.com/defocusmedia. One thing's for sure, I'm ready. Hello and welcome to the Defocus Media podcast. Today is a girls only episode, which, no offense, Daryl, but my favorite episodes. So I'm joined by a young woman in eye care that is making a lot of amazing things happen. And it's been really fascinating to follow her journey on Instagram. Please welcome to the show, Dr. Audrey Raley.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
So your Instagram handle, just in case other people are following along already and not realizing it, it's at Doc Raley OD, is that correct?
Got it, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your background in optometry.
Yeah, so I grew up in Central Texas and I attended the Texas A&M University and then decided to do my optometry degree at the University of Houston. And I just graduated actually in May of 2017, so I'm just kind of rounding out just over a year in the working world. And it's been really exciting just to get out and see patients. And I'm kind of still in that phase where every single day it's something new and exciting and still learning and kind of refining my care with patients and still getting to see cool cases. And so I think that it's really fun and fresh, and you know, I'm still at that place where everything's still very new.
Hopefully we never lose that. At 7 years out, I have to say, like, I see something new almost every day too, so don't worry.
I never want to be complacent with this. Like, I just am still in the phase of like, oh, I just love what I do.
Good. Yeah, I think all of our hope is like we can wake up in 30 years and still feel like that. Yeah. So that's what we're reaching for, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, first year out of school, what did you decide to do after graduating? What was that transition like?
You know, it was interesting. I actually had a lot of struggle in kind of deciding what I wanted to do and where I wanted to be. And I know we'll kind of dive into this later. I'd always kind of had the background thought of I wanted to pursue private practice and be a business owner. But for a while there, I had a lot of people, a lot of colleagues in my graduating class who actually went on to do residency. And so for a while there, that was something that, you know, I really thought about and decided it wasn't for me at the time. But I've had a very kind of hectic, interesting time because I had a very hard time trying to commit to any associate position anywhere. And right now I actually live in Austin and that's where I do most of my work. But it was very difficult to tell these optometrists that were hiring that, because a lot of them really want you to say, hey, I want to make this my forever home. I want to stay here forever. And I just had this pit in my stomach. Like, I couldn't really tell someone that. And that's when I knew I got to dive in. I've got to open cold. Actually, one of my mentors here in the Austin area, Lori Sorensen, she has a 7-doctor, 10-exam lane practice, and I externed with her. We had lunch one day, and she said, you need to dive in. Like, when are you gonna take that step? And so she actually put me in touch with a couple of guys out of Chicago. You probably know them, Dr. Eric Voss and Robert Steinmetz. So they're the eye care advisors. And so I got in touch with them, and I just thought it was brilliant. And I thought to myself, this is exactly kind of the guide that I needed to help me feel a little bit more comfortable in making the step towards opening my own place. So that was really kind of how I ended up starting this journey, was getting in touch with them and kind of understanding what they do and how that works and how I could kind of use them as a resource moving forward.
Did you ever during school think that you'd be opening cold a year out of optometry school?
You know, I always thought about it. They did ask a question at one of our graduation banquets, you know, who all wanted to do that. And it was one of my really good friends who's a male optometrist and he's now in Dallas. He opened his practice already. And then everyone was kind of saying, Audrey, raise your hand. You know, and it was like people out of our entire, you know, 89 member class who were even potentially thinking about it. But yeah, it's kind of surreal because like I said earlier, I still feel so fresh. Every day I have to remind myself like, wow, this is a dream coming true.
Absolutely. And it sounds like one, you found a really great mentor in your local area through your externship situation that gave you that little push that you could do it. And then you've gotten expert help. How has that process working with consultants been?
You know, it's been great. And I think that you can do this process without mentors or without consultants. But for me, I just really like to be a big picture person. And I like to kind of hear and learn what other people have done. I mean, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. And I like to be very efficient and effective with my time. And so for me, utilizing these resources to maximize my success, it's just going to help me get to where I'm going a little bit more effectively, a little bit less time. And it's a very good peace of mind to be able to, you know, call on these people whenever you need to. I've had multiple times where there's an optometrist that I just really respected and they didn't know me. And I just said to myself, I'm going to reach out. And I just kind of took that step out there. The worst that can happen is someone says no, or, you know, you don't get a response back or they don't have time. But 9 times out of 10, I mean, I love our profession. Everyone's like, yeah, I'd be willing to answer some questions, or I'd be willing to give you advice, or, you know, willing to hop on the phone with you sort of thing. And so I think you just kind of have to get out of your comfort zone a little bit and really like leverage your contacts.
I think what you just said is sneaky good advice too, because it sounds so obvious, but people really struggle with how to find a mentor. And we're reading Lean In with a few of my other friends, which I know is quite an old book at this point, but she jokes about how she would get these emails or questions at conferences like, will you be my mentor? And like, that's not how you start the conversation, right? You don't just go up to people and ask, but you ask them for specific advice and specific questions, and then the conversation starts.
Exactly. Yeah. In talking about, you know, good books and things, I don't know if you've heard of How Women Rise.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So the 12 habits that basically hold you back from your next raise, promotion, job, written by, you know, a world leadership expert. I read this book and loved it because I think, and I know we're going to dive into this as well, but I think women, a lot of times, like, we feel like we might be a bother. And I think that comes from kind of this whole psychological aspect of we feel like we have to be very accommodating and we feel like we have to be caretakers and we have to be keep everybody happy. And, you know, I love this book because it really just talked about kind of stepping up. And I haven't read Lean In yet. That's on my list. But just how to kind of maneuver in your career and not taking that seat back and not like claiming your achievements, or, you know, being afraid to say like, yeah, I accomplished this, or this is the credit is due for me, you know, and I went to this person and we did this. And I don't know. I just think that all of that's extremely fascinating. And I think you got to keep those types of books and things in your back pocket so that you can kind of grow as a professional and as a person.
I think this all ties back very strongly to this conversation with what you've done, because step one in opening cold is believing that you can do it, right? And I think that's where most of us fall short in thinking that this is a possible career option, because it sounds scary. It sounds like something we probably won't be successful at. But the truth is, the resources and everything are out there. All the biggest jump is just having the confidence to say, I can do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm a big believer in like the post-it note, confidence boost, yeah, on your mirror in the morning, you know? So right now I've got on there, make your enthusiasm for success stronger than your fear of failure, and you will become unstoppable. And I just have to read that every day, because especially I mean, there's so much I've learned in this process I had no idea about. You don't learn how to open a practice in optometry school. I mean, you don't necessarily learn how to communicate with, you know, all of the business, the tax and ins and outs and things like that. And you kind of just have to step up every day and dig deep and not worry too many steps ahead, but just take the day for what it is. And, you know, tell yourself, like, today, you know, I'm going to conquer.
Well, you mentioned some of the daily difficulties that you've had, because you're right, in optometry school, in my history too, there's so much focus on how to be an optometrist. Like, there's so much medical stuff that they have to cover. Some of the being a business owner stuff, of course, gets pushed to the side. And at that stage in our career, maybe we aren't even open-minded that much to hearing it because it seems like way too overwhelming. We really need to study post-seg right now. You know what I mean?
Right.
So what has been the hardest part of this process so far, do you feel?
It's been one part time management and really prioritizing, and one part just the sheer village of people that it takes that you've got to enlist to help you. What I didn't realize is that, you know, there's so many people involved and all of these people have to be put in contact with each other, and you've got to keep tabs on everybody, and there's a lot of loose ends kind of all at the same time. And I think in school and in our training, we're conditioned just to kind of do one thing at a time. And even just in the workday, like, okay, you do one exam at a time, on to the next, on to the next. And what's interesting about this process is it's extremely dynamic and there's a lot of moving parts and things going on at the same time. And so my reminders on my iPhone and my huge calendar, I literally have a calendar, it's like 2 feet in size attached to next to the front door with, you know, all of my commitments and people I need to get on the phone with. And so I would really say that for me, those have been the biggest difficulties.
Just kind of changing your entire mindset almost.
Yeah. And I actually had a colleague of mine who wanted some advice because they were thinking about doing the same thing. We hopped on the phone and he just, you know, he's like, how are you doing this working full time? You know, how are you balancing everything? And I said, well, do I know that I'm balancing everything like appropriately? No, but, you know, I'm just doing it. So you just carve out each day, one day at a time. You know, I mentioned to you earlier, it's been a busy summer. I've been working almost 6 days a week. I do get some half days in there, but really kind of scheduling your time and scheduling admin time, and it's important to prioritize.
When you had told me before we started the show today, actually, that you had been working 6 days this week, one of the things we talked about was saying no. It's so difficult. And I think many, especially young females, struggle with this mindset because we do want to make everyone around us happy. We feel like when someone asks us to do something, of course, because they want us to do something and we want to make them happy by saying yes. How did you learn how to say no?
You know, there was a breaking point for me when I just kind of broke down, and I stepped back away from it. And I have this amazing supporting and loving husband who just always kind of helps me piece out thoughts in my head and how I'm feeling. And he's a very good listener, but I had to sit back and realize, hey, you know, I'm kind of putting a few things myself. And I think that women tend to do that, right? We kind of tend to take care of everything and everyone else besides ourselves. And I feel that I often get guilty, or I feel guilty about taking time for myself. But ultimately, that's what it came down to. I just needed some more Audrey time. I needed time to maybe go get my nails done or grab a massage or have coffee with a girlfriend, even if it's just 45 minutes. And I think that implementing that can really, really help your just mental state of mind and just feeling a little bit more at peace and like ready to move on to the next thing.
I think, you're so right. Or we think oftentimes when we see women that are being successful, they're like, okay, they've figured it out. But the truth is, it's a daily decision that we
Absolutely.
Make. I know even now, when I say no to things, a lot of times I'll get very upset afterwards. Like, my heart is racing, like, oh my gosh, I'm probably in so much trouble now. I can't believe I said no. And then I'll sometimes even so bad that I like call my husband, like, oh, I hope this is okay. I said something to that. And of course, he's always like, yeah, that's fine. I absolutely want you to say no.
But you feel guilty, don't you? And it's like, I don't really know where that comes from. But yeah.
So it's not a 100%. Like, once you figure out how to do it, you'll know how to do it. Anybody who's listening out there, you'll still get freaked out when you say no probably 50% of the time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we'll talk a little bit more about you being a young female and a business owner. I mean, have you felt like you faced any challenges specifically due to gender bias so far in this opening cold process?
I mean, I do. And I thought a lot about this kind of before we hopped on. I'll kind of give you, you know, how I feel, and then I'll give you a specific story. But I feel like on a daily basis, you know, I'm 27. So I still look extremely, I mean, I am young, but I also look young. Right. And I'm female. And I feel like on a daily basis, just kind of overriding that perception that you get, I feel like I have to maybe sometimes prove myself a little bit more, get people to take me a little more seriously. It was interesting when I was first looking at spaces for the practice and going around to these different sites, a lot of times the landlord or a representative from the landlord will meet you on site with your real estate broker. And there was one gentleman in particular who really just kind of stooped down and really questioned me, you know, questioned me on financing and my training and this and that. And, you know, it's, you can take it one of, you can either say, oh my gosh, you know, I can't believe that person's acting like that. Or, you know, there's still this favoritism towards males and I can't believe it. Or you can just say, you know what, like, I'm going to show this person that I'm actually very successful and confident. And yes, I'm female. And yes, I'm young. And just kind of take the bull by the horns. But what is sad, and the story I would like to tell you guys, is I have a colleague of mine who actually was associating for a doctor. She was working, she got pregnant, she had her baby. And I think that's one thing that's always, you know, a topic with women, right? It's like, how do you do both? How do you have, you know, your career and your family and this and that? And how do you balance it all? She actually was contacted by this older optometrist, that male optometrist that she was working for, and said, hey, you know, contract's ended. This is the end of the road. Of course, you know, she was just so distraught because it's like, here she is ready to return back. She's just birthed her first child. But we were talking about it and she said, you know, I thought back to when I originally signed my contract with him and he had said, you know, women should not be breadwinners. And it's just so sad. But I mean, that's still out there, that perception and kind of that train of thought from some people. But I think what's really encouraging is that that's going away. And I think that female entrepreneurs, you know, like ourselves, we're pushing all of that out. And there's just so many women now on like social media platforms and business owners and all in throughout the optometry world who are really just changing that. So it's sad to hear that it still exists, but I do feel like, you know, it's moving forward and it's progressing. It is something kind of interesting. And I do feel like you have to each day kind of tell yourself, you know, you're not at a disadvantage, right? Because it's easy for us to kind of fall and say like, well, you know, it's going to be harder for me because I am female. You kind of just have to take that and say, well, that just means I'm going to work that much harder because I want to show people that I can do this and that I can have it all.
I mean, that story obviously is just heart-wrenching, but I'm sure happens even more than what we realize. And I think what's so hard about gender bias within our profession is, yeah, every now and again, you'll physically hear it and see it. And there's some overt cases more like what you described, but most of the time it's subconscious and the person who's doing the biased behavior doesn't feel like they're coming from a bad place at all. It's just so ingrained in our way of thinking that it never crosses their mind that it's something that would be a negative.
Yeah.
So that's what makes it so hard is we have to confront it when people feel like, oh, I'm not biased, I'm perfectly normal. Here's a prime example. So this happened recently with a friend of mine. She works in a company with a couple of other doctors, and they have a doctor who's kind of more like, I guess like a director level, if you want to kind of think of it that way, where he goes out and talks to some of the other doctors and gives them advice and ways to increase capture rate and stuff like that. And so I guess at some point she was talking about salary, and she was like, well, I don't know how much you make, but obviously like a lot more than me. And this doctor was like, no, you definitely make more than I do. And she's like, obviously, like, he's in the leadership position. She's the younger junior associate. And she was like, yeah, that's probably not true. And he's like, well, my wife doesn't work and we have a couple of kids. And he was like, and your husband works. So you guys take home a lot more money than we do. And it's like, he doesn't mean anything bad by it, but he thinks of her salary as a collective family salary and his salary as a collective family salary, which is definitely not the same thing. So just these kind of subconscious bias that we don't even realize is affecting our opinions on things.
Exactly. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. So whenever you see like just what's considered normal come out like that and you're like, that's not normal at all.
Yeah.
So we've been talking about some of the struggles, but what has been an unexpected reward of being a small business owner so far?
I think so far, it's been very exciting because I feel as though my dream is literally coming to life. And I feel like all of my hard work, you know, and sacrifices that we make on a daily basis, just working and taking care of patients and even just through school and how grueling that is and how many things that we miss out on because, you know, the training is so vigorous. What I'm really looking forward to, you know, A couple of weeks ago, I went and opened my business checking account and this credit union, which is more of like a regional, so it's not completely local, but it's, you know, a little bit more specific to the area. It's just down the street from my place. And the associate that I was working with was just so excited to support a new eye doctor. And she said she really needed one. And she's like, please bring by all your business cards. I'll hand them out to everybody, you know. And I sat back and thought about it. And I was so excited. Of course, it was a great visit and felt really good to walk out of there. But I thought, man, you know, these are people that are going to be part of my home and my community. And I'm going to be able to impact their life directly by making their vision better, taking care of their eye health. And I'm really looking forward to the longevity of care, I think, with patients in a specific place. And so I guess I never really put two and two together until I started this process. But, you know, I mentioned to you before, I do have a little puppy in the background in case anyone hears that. She's a long-haired miniature dachshund. She's trying to say hi. I associate in so many different practices right now that I'm so used and so conditioned to just seeing so many different people and moving around from place to place, and there's not that continuity. And so I think what I realized as I started this process was, wow, I'm gonna get that. I'm gonna get my place, my office where I actually open the door every day, and they're my patients. Just kind of like the ownership, I guess, of it all.
Oh yeah, I mean that's right. So like, and not only will you be their care provider, and you get to grow with them and see them have kids and families and all that, but you can make their businesses better too. Like it being part of your business community, you're going to be instrumental to their business success as well. So I think that's just like a whole different avenue that as a non-business owner, you wouldn't really get the sense of pride with, that you're creating a successful business community.
Exactly. So that's been really exciting.
So if someone's listening to the show and considering opening cold or buying a practice, what advice do you have for them before they dive in and commit?
Well, I mean, I think step one is really soul searching and just making sure that, you know, this is what you want to do. The process has been so rewarding for me thus far, but I did struggle in the beginning of, you know, whether or not this is really what I want to do. And I had to kind of step back and ask myself, if I don't, what will I regret in my future? Or will I be unhappy? Or will I feel like I fell short professionally in my career? I think if you can do that first step and kind of just get that one core thing of like, what is driving you to do this? What is making you so excited to pursue this? Then on the days when it's hard and challenging, and days thus far when I've become extremely overwhelmed and I've been like, oh my gosh, you know, is this going to work? Am I going to make it? You know, like, can I really do this? I kind of go back to that one thing, and it's really what, it's like my center. It keeps me going. And then after that, after you find that, I say, go to your mentors, you know, go to your resources, always be willing to learn and absorb as much information possible as you can. And I think, you know, it sounds simple, but that's honestly the best advice I can give, because when it gets really crazy, you just have to come back to that simplicity and really get back to, you know, why are you doing this?
Well, if someone's listening in and they would love to reach out to you for advice, what's a great way for them to get in touch?
Yeah, so you can always direct message me on my Instagram account at DrRayleighOD. You can email me. It's my first and last name at gmail.com. My first name is Audrey, A-U-D-R-E-Y, last name Rayleigh. So yeah, I'd love to help answer questions. I've already had a couple of colleagues reach out to me and say like, hey, you know, how are you doing this? You know, I'm kind of starting to think about it. And I just think it's really fun because it's cool to see people just grow and pursue things that they love. So any questions, I'm always happy to help.
Thank you so much for your time today and also for inspiring us to kind of do it. There's this part of me that's always like, you know, like, oh my gosh, it sounds so exciting. It sounds so much fun. So I know I'm sitting on the edge of my seat hearing your story, just being a year out of school and already taking this dive and opening cold. And while it's, you know, you've got times where you admit like, yeah, there's things that are scary, it sounds like the process has been overwhelmingly fun and rewarding so far. So that's
absolutely.
Yeah. Hopefully that inspires the rest of us. Like, come on, let's jump into the deep end together.
That's right. That's right. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast and remember, we keep it 2020 around here, pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.